medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Colas IS Support. Back with me this week is my friend and podcast partner, Polhau Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul, this must mean if you're here again, that you're getting better, continuing to get better.
Oh, it's great to be back, Chandra. Yes, that must mean I'm feeling better. Getting there slowly but surely. Finished my last round of antibiotics and we're getting there. Still a little stuffy. Still got a cough here and there. Swinging a golf club wears me out. So I'm not ready to get back on the track yet, so to speak. But how are things on your end? How's training going?
Training's going just fine. Still need to figure out which race or races I'm going to commit to this year. I really should get on that. But enjoying my long runs. It's been a beautiful winter here in Colorado. If this is what every winter is like, I'm great. This isn't so bad.
Yeah, no kidding. You've been totally spoiled. This is fantastic.
Yeah, but so, I'll be heading to the cold this weekend. I'm headed up to Minnesota to go take care of some stuff with my dad. He's got to have a little medical procedure next week, so I'll be there. It does look like I'll get a day of very refreshing temperatures where when I wake up in the morning, it might be close to zero Fahrenheit. So not really all that excited about that, but, you know, it is what it is. But at least I get to get some Midwestern fun in while I'm there. So more to come on that. I'll report.
Yeah, maybe you'll see a snowplow or two. Who knows? Foreshadowing.
Anyway. Foreshadowing. I'm going to ask you, what are we talking about today, Paul?
Well, you and I, we were working with Quest on, you know, some of the more popular topics. We're coming up to conference season. We want to know what people want to learn about, you know, what sort of sessions they're looking for. And something that continually comes up is low code, no code tooling. And of course, we have an entire digital platform full of different tools that we would qualify as low code, no code, or no code, low code, or whichever way you want to say it. I don't know. I'm sure there's an industry standard. I'm supposed to know it, and I'm losing credibility the more I speak. But anyway, moving on. So we have that. And then one of our most popular sessions that we had, when we look back, we do actually look at metrics and make sure that people are actually listening to us and trying to figure out what they like to hear about, what they don't like to hear about. We're tired of having Clayton on the show. Sorry, Clayton, but no more Mr. Seeley. I'm just kidding. No, we'll have him back on, I'm sure. But, you know, he's still number one, I guess. I have to bring him up. So Mr. Seeley, Mr. CNC is still number one. But within the top five is Mr. Pete Cotton and the episode that we did with him on decustomization. Very popular topic, something that a lot of customers, if not all customers, have to deal with. And if you didn't catch that series, by all means, go back, search for decustomization or search for Pete Cotton. You'll find the episodes, but he lays out a really good methodology for how you identify, categorize, prioritize, and then attack, literally methodically work through getting rid of your decustomizations, right?
Just for people to refer back to, those are episodes 39 and 40.
There you go.
If they want to go back and listen to Pete Cotton talking about decustomization, definitely hit up episodes 39 and 40. Both very popular episodes as well.
Yep, absolutely. So one of the keys, though, to decustomization, obviously, is using no-code, low-code tooling. And so one of those tools is logic extensions. And it's not a tool that necessarily that you've used. You've seen a couple of presentations, but you haven't necessarily had a chance to get your hands on it. And so I thought we'd have the architect and inventor of logic extensions come on, Ms. Haiyan Wong, and she could kind of walk us through, give you an overview. Some of you know her as the queen of JDE, but Haiyan, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing good. How are you? Good to see you back.
I think we're doing great. We're doing great. You know, you were on a few episodes ago. We talked about, was it a post-blueprint episode either or a post-in-focus episode where we talked about kind of conference takeaways. But why don't you reintroduce yourself to everybody's, for those that may not have caught that episode, may not know exactly who you are.
All right. So hi, everyone. I'm Haiyan Wang. I've been on the web runtime team for over 26 years. Yes, I'm responsible for all the interactive applications that's running on the web client. And then since 9.2, my role expanded to basically the entire digital platform.
Wow.
So you started Excellent. With JD Edwards when you were about 5 then.
Oh, very sweet of you. Thank you.
You can't have been there 26 years. That's amazing.
Wow. 26 years. That's a long time. Excellent. All right. Well, great to have you on, Haiyan. Now, before we get into logic extensions and talk about what are they and what they're used for, you were kind of chatting briefly with Chandra and I beforehand about how they came to be. So why don't you tell everybody that little story about how did logic extensions become a thing? What's the story behind it?
So back in 2000, my then boss, Mr. Daryl Shakespeare, he needed to expand the capabilities of the orchestrator. And then back then, there wasn't anything available to the orchestrator to do a direct table input. So he eyed on the client-side NUR, and then he gave me a whole list of enhancements, all the advanced features, hopefully available in client-side NUR, like arrays, else if, maybe aggregation. Oh. Yes. So basically what I was supposed to do is to come up with a new design for the XML spec and then hand that design over to another team and they can implement whatever we asked for. But it was apparently too challenging for me. So I studied the existing ER XML spec for about a week. And then I got back to him. I said, I'm sorry, I don't think I can do that. But if you let me implement this as a user-defined object, I can do whatever you want. So that's how I invented logic extensions.
That's awesome. For those listening that don't know what NUR refers to, named event rules. So we've got business functions and we've got NURs. So named event rules don't have a lot of the feature functionality that you were talking about. Oh my gosh, that would have been nice if they did. But wow, interesting. And Daryl Shakespeare, okay, you did mention him. Yes, the godfather? No, the godfather of orchestrator is AJ, right? What's Daryl considered these days? I don't know. He'd be considered the inventor, the brains behind the orchestrator, I suppose. Although there might be some out there that debate that. I don't know. Won't say who they are. I'm just kidding. We know Daryl invented it. And, you know, I should have apologized. I mean, I don't know how many years you suffered under his reign, but totally joking. If he's ever listening to this, I hope he gets a laugh. Fun. You know, I hope Daryl's having a great time in retirement using orchestrator to help USA Rugby. Anyway, moving on. So thanks for that background, Haiyan. Why don't we get right into it? I think today we're gonna demo, right? So you're going to share your screen. We'll have to describe to our listeners what this looks like and where they need to go to access it, all that fun stuff. I think our goal today, right, is to give everybody an understanding of what logic extensions are, what they can do. We probably won't go through all their capabilities, but let's go through some practical use cases to get people curious and let them know where they can get started so they can go experiment with this on their own. And your primary target is Chandra, so that you can equip Chandra to be able to go play around with these and then go back to her development team and say, why are you guys doing it this way when you could be doing this? So that's what we'd like to see.
Sure, they'll love me.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so before I start, I need to give my own disclaimer. Paul just gave a very tall order for me to describe a product. So first of all, I'm just a developer. Second of all, most importantly, English isn't even my first language.
Hey, we can help out with this. This is a team effort. So first of all, okay, logic extensions. Where do you even go to like create one of these things or to get access to this feature functionality?
So if you want to use the logic extension, you have to log on to the Orchestrator Studio. And Perfect. Then at the homepage of the Orchestrator Studio, you see the logic extensions. And then once you click on that, this is just like any other OODLEs in the studio where you can just define a new one or modify existing ones. But before we even get there, there are a few things, because we wouldn't be able to cover like everything, but something that I want to point out. So this logic extension, it is a very powerful browser-based graphical development tool that uses familiar Enterprise One event rules concepts. So it minimizes the need for traditional programming skills. You can drag and drop or point and click to add statements. You can view your logic as a graph, and you can add data items on the fly from E1 objects like business views, tables, business functions, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. And you can actually test and troubleshoot directly on the glass. And you don't need to build any package. You can invoke logic extensions from form extensions, orchestrations, and even process modeler. Yes. January, we just released the enhanced procure to pay template that includes several logic extensions to supply data for the analytics in the process modeler. Woohoo!
Oh, yeah. I've seen a couple demos of it, and it's very, very impressive. Again, we're going to touch on the 101 level here today, but think about that. You're in the process modeler, you're doing enterprise process automation, and you're going into these models and creating KPIs and creating specific analytics, and you're using this logic extension capability to actually create those behind the scenes so that you can ad hoc create whatever metrics it is that you want to see to track the performance of your process. That is pretty wicked. So again, we're going to touch on the simple stuff today to just get you started, but this can do some pretty wicked, complicated stuff. And your description of it, Hayana, you said on the glass, you said graphical, right? I don't need to build and deploy in any of that sort of stuff. So I've got this like very visual drag drop capability to just point click program, which means I don't need to know syntax. I don't need to know language. I don't need to know any of that sort of stuff. I just need to know the basic logic in my head and some constructs, right? You've got, it looks like the ability to do arrays, the ability to do looping, the ability to do aggregation, you know, those sorts of things. So some of the more complicated things, but again, all at a click of a button or a drag drop versus actually getting in there and keying everything in by hand, which is pretty cool. So I can't wait until you come up with a way for us to have an LLM in front of this, and I can just through natural language have Chanda describe what she wants, and then it'll just build itself. But be that as it may, let's not go there.
No expectations there.
No, not at all. Not at all. Is that done yet? Anyway, all right. Maybe that's a demo for Blueprint. Oh, okay. Mic drop. Bunk. Okay. Moving on. All right. Continue on. Any questions so far, Chandra?
Nope, I'm good. Let's see what she's got.
Just before I get into the examples, I just want to show you quickly what the UI looks like. So when you click on the logic tab, you get to drag and drop all sorts of statements into the logic itself. And then if you want to call, for instance, direct table IO, that's
Hayan is doing is she's dragging that table IO onto the screen, and then she's attaching the table to that so that it knows which table to go look at.
And so you can see that, for instance, if you need to call a table IO, then you need to map something into the table. And then you just click on that pencil icon. So this screen actually has all the columns from that table. And then you want to, for this table, the address number happens to be the primary key. And then if you don't know ahead of time that you will be needing this item, you can actually just click on the drop down right next to that item. And then you can add that to the data structure, which means you can pass value in or retrieve something out from this logic extension, or you can add that to the variables, which means you could use that as your internal calculation within the logic extension. So there are so many ways. We make it easier for the users to use this tool. So even though ahead of time, you don't know what data items you will be working with, we make it so much easier. So if you're working with pretty much any E1 objects, you can just add those data items on the fly without advanced knowledge, without planning like way ahead before you actually do anything. And then, of course, I'm clicking on the first tab in the logic extension. So this is where you define your data structure or your input output. So you can add any data dictionary item into that data structure. And then you can tell it whether it's required or not, what IO type it is. Do you want to just pass something in? Do you want to retrieve anything out of this logic extension? You can give it a name. So the input name now is address number. You can change the output parameter name. So there are a few things that you could do. And then something that you don't get from the client side name event rule is this Boolean. You can actually add a Boolean into your data structure or your variable. So it just makes coding, makes logic programming a lot easier. And then array is something that is actually very important. And then inside this array, so once I click this plus array button, I get to choose what data items I put in the array. I can add any data dictionary item to any array of my choice. So these are all flexible. Yes, I just added address book number to one of my arrays. And then you see this add control. This one only works if you call this logic extension from form extension. This allows us to kind of link the logic extensions with form extension. So you can do a lot of de-customization with the combination of those two. This one, because we provide a few form control functions inside logic extension, and then I'll show you quickly what that means. When I add a form control, I could either add one single control or I could add a list of controls. It all depends on what I plan to do with those controls. So let's just add a form control function. So now I'm back to the logic tab and I added a form control functions. So on the right of the screen, you will see form control functions. We provide about 6 different functions where you can enable control, disable control, show control, hide control, and also the set control text and set edit control color. So you pick the function that you want and you pass in the controls or list of controls into that function, and then the engine will just take care of it.
That you want to take action on, basically. Yes. That you want it to take action on.
Yes. Okay.
So going back real quick to the defining your inbound structure. So you're defining a data structure. Chandra, recently you've been working with APIs and mapping APIs, and you want to be able to map parameters back and forth. This is allowing you to define a set of parameters to go back and forth that you, of course, want the data to come in, input parameters that you're going to use within the logic extension to obviously do conditions, do calculations, do whatever logic, whatever fetching, whatever it is that you're going to do. So what data do you need to be able to run this extension? And then, of course, output being whatever you're going to get back. So you can think of this as you the one defining what that structure is that you've been using for your API mapping in the past. The Boolean is very interesting. Could you give an example of that just real quick? You mentioned it is very powerful, but what's an example?
So this Boolean only takes a true or false value. Mm-hmm. So in the past, in JDE, we used to have maybe a single character to represent, is it on, is it off, is it true, is it false? So that's what this Boolean is. I actually have an example. So I have a Boolean input in this case, and it only takes an input. So depending on that input, I would do something differently. So all I need to do is I check if my Boolean is true or not. If it's true, I'll do something. If it's false, I'll do something else. So based on the input value, I can change the data in my system to achieve my result. I won't describe what this does.
So in the place of just putting a flag or some sort of character in your structure and having to pass in a 0, a 1, a N, a Y, anything like that, you could actually just designate a parameter, a Boolean, and pass it a true false. And yes, then within your logic, you can condition off the state of that Boolean, i.e. true or false, in order to dictate your logic. So it's a shortcut if you want to think of it that way, but now you can actually pass actual Boolean values, true, false, into functions, which a new concept, right? I mean, we don't have that in NERS. We don't have that really anywhere else. That's why I wanted to double click on it, because A, developers know Boolean, like that's just a standard term out there, but not everybody right. does. And so it's not necessarily intuitive, and the value of it isn't necessarily intuitive. This accelerates your ability to actually do your logic.
Very so, much cool. the if-then uh-huh. logic, right? That's right. really cool. Yeah.
If true, if false versus mm-hmm. if A and 8 is this equal is... to 42, 42 or something like that, right?
You know. Right.
Exactly.
So, cool.
Apparently, you can test your logic extensions. You can run it just on the fly, or you can actually debug this and run that in the diagnostic mode. So that's all visual.
Right. I mean, everybody that's done orchestrators before, they created orchestrations. It's nice to be able to test that orchestration on the fly right then and there. And same thing here. So you create this logic extension. You can say, okay, I'm going to run it. It'll prompt you for the inputs that you've designated. So you can input those values. And then you can actually, if you run it in diagnostic mode, you can walk through it so that you can understand what path it's following and potentially what condition's failing or anything like that. So,
and you can see the values for each step if you want to get into that level of detail. So these are just the built-in functionalities of logic extension. So now, before we do some real work, let's take a look at one example. So this is one of the applications that we actually got an enhancement request from the customer. So in this application, when the user clicks the add button, the customer wants us to set a default value in this payment instrument and then disable this field.
Yeah.
So this is on the customer master record for those that mm-hmm. can't visually see that the payment instrument is on the customer master record.
So when you go into customer master, you click add, mm-hmm. you want a default value to come in. This is a very, Chandy, you probably agree, this is a prototypical example where if we didn't have a processing option under the default tab that automatically starts defaulting this stuff, rather than going in and customizing our processing options to add your own, or rather than going directly into the application in ER to hard code a default value, this is a typical thing that you have to do, you want to do, you want to control, right?
Absolutely. There's things we want to lock down. You know, we want them populated, but then lock down so people don't change them. That's absolutely a great option rather than doing my favorite thing, which is submitting an enhancement request to Paul to add us something in his processing
option. Add another processing option. Thank you. God, I knew we'd get there. What's interesting about this is, Diane, you come up with this like very simple example right away, bam, but it hits on where form personalization and also just for basic form extensions fall flat. Hey, great. I love being able to personalize my form and trim it down to just what I want to see and rename things, resize things, reposition things, whatever. That's great. But so much of what I do ends up being conditionalized, right? So if I'm going to go do a form extension, I can do the same thing, but I want, it's got to be dynamic. It's got to be based on a certain set of conditions. So just being able to do it on the surface doesn't quite cut it. And so this cuts right to the chase of a weakness, if you will, a limitation in form extension slash personalization that logic extensions fills right away. So, okay, continue. This is awesome.
So this is in another environment. It's the same application, but I've defined a form extension with logic extensions. So now if I press the plus button on work with customer master, that field is set to a payment instrument field on the customer master revision form. It's set to credit card payment by default, and then that field is disabled, which means no one can actually change this. And that actually achieved what the customer was asking for. So how did I do that? So I get to that customer master revision form, and then I am opening the form extension and I'm clicking on that associate orchestrations link in the form extension. And on this form, you can see that I just click the logic extensions tab, and then I actually attached two different logic extensions to this form extension. The first one is I call this once logic extension in the clear screen before add. That is a special premise that we set for the output for a form extension to set any output back to the form. It could only be the visible and editable controls on a form. So basically, in form extension, you simply cannot modify the value of an already disabled control. Invisible control, right? So that is the premise set by the form extension. So in order to make this whole scenario work, I have to set the value first in clear screen before add, and then I call another logic extension in post the dialog is initialized. So now I'm going back to Orchestrator Studio to look at the logic extensions that I just talked about. So this is the first logic extension. What it does is it simply set a question mark to that string of value. Well, I didn't rename my input output. It sets string.
That's helpful.
So I clicked on the string. I select the string as my target. And then as soon as I do that, I get a whole list of other operations that I can perform with this string type of object. So I can actually pass in data structure or variables, do some calculation, and I could type in hard-coded value. I could select from a list of system variables, constants, etc. And I could do arithmetic calculations. I could perform math, a whole family of math functions. We have text functions, whatever you want to do. Oh, I wish you could see Chandra's expression. I love it. And date, you can do a lot of things with date and UTC functions. So this is just our assignment.
I don't see Julian date in there.
I know. I was just going to say that. Where's my Julian date?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay.
So within the assignment, we actually provide some really complex data manipulation. Mm-hmm. And that was the first logic extension I called from that form extension. And the second one, if you remember, I want to disable that after the value is set. So this one is very simple. I'm back in the studio looking at my second logic extension. I have an input, which is an integer. I was just playing with logic extensions. That's why I designed this logic extensions this way. So in this case, I'm passing the data structure is a form control list, although in this case, I'm only passing in one control. But this, I want to show this because we are using the else if condition, which does sure. not exist anywhere in E1. So we just have if else. And then in order to achieve more complex logic or data management, you have to embed multiple if else statements in the block in order to do some complex processing. So that's one of the features that was required. Yeah.
So, I mean, again, just for context, generally speaking, if you're in a named ER, you can do if then else type logic, while you can't do if else logic. So you can't string some of these things together, which it makes some of the more complex conditioning that you want to be able to do, it makes it a little bit more convoluted. So one of the things that gets addressed here is that this missing else if capability from a developer standpoint, Hyann and company put this in logic extensions where it doesn't exist. When she says it doesn't exist anywhere else in E1, that means, hey, you don't have this ability to do else if conditioning within ER or named ER. So this was a key differentiator for logic extensions, right? So this demonstrates that. So you've got this logic extension, you pass in a value, and she's demonstrating that you can condition off of that if else one, if else two, if else three, you know, whatever the value is, and then what action you're supposed to take in each one of those cases on that form control, right? So presumably the form control being passed in is payment type, whatever it was.
Instrument.
Payment instrument is being, that form control is being passed into this logic extension. And then you're just creating a generic condition for fun to illustrate the power of this. But the point is that you then, based on that value, you are hiding, showing, enabling, disabling the actual form. So when you think about it, you can call this logic extension now. And depending on what you want to do to the form control, so if you wanted to show the form control because it was typically hidden, then you could call this logic extension and pass in any value other than 1, 2, 3. If you want to hide that control, then you're going to pass in a 3. If you want to enable that control, pass in a 2. If you want to disable the control, you're going to pass in a 1 to this logic extension, which makes this logic extension now generic. And you can now use this logic extension in any form extension to go disable, enable, hide, or show a control. Is that fair, Payan? Did I assess that correctly?
Exactly. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the logic extension. Sorry, I'm back to the web client. I wanted to show Chandra what Paul was trying to explain. So from the form extension, I'm passing in this payment instrument into the logic extension, the one that you just saw earlier. And then I am passing in a 1 as my input because that logic extension was a generic logic extension. In my case, I know I need to disable this field. That's why I'm passing in a 1. And then in some other cases, you might want to pass different values, and then that would just work. So it's reusable.
And you can see, I mean, in most cases, maybe you're going to condition the disabling of that based off maybe a value in another field. So you would write your logic extension accordingly to say, look, as an input, let me take the input being that other value on the form, pass in this form control, and then I'll take the appropriate action by putting this if else condition in there that based on the value, I take different actions. So you can, again, genericize this stuff however you wish and implement it wherever you wish. So this is, again, very powerful. I mean, it's
very
simple,
powerful.
but it's very powerful.
Wow, Paul, you probably just read my mind.
That's scary.
All right. So we just finished our first form extension example. Do you feel like an expert, Chandra?
Expert might be a little bit of a long shot, but, you know, I feel like I'll get there. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now you know else if or if else or whatever the proper terminology is for developers out there.
I do. I learned something today. Thank you. I'll thank both you and Hayan. So I did learn something today and I'm very excited to see if it actually stuck.
Okay. Nice. Can't wait for your first opportunity to play around with it. Try it out.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Well, you mentioned on the call that you were heading up to Minnesota. Dad's got some stuff going on. You want to be there for him. Are you going to get a chance since, you know, you're going to be in the vicinity? There's other supper clubs on your list. Are you going to swing by one of those supper clubs or what's up?
Well, it wouldn't be a trip to the Midwest if I didn't get some Midwestern culture, right? So okay, supper club, yes. I am actually proposing to my dad. There's one that's been on my list I would like to go to. So I'm proposing that we go there. And I'm pretty sure he's going to say yes, because I know he loves this place. It's a place I haven't been to. It's in Hastings, Minnesota. And then the other fun Midwestern event that I'm going to attend is the fish fry.
The fish fry. Sweet. Oh, God. It is an event.
VFW.
That qualifies. Yes. VFW fish fry. That qualifies. All right. Wow. Well, I cannot wait to hear you report back what this experience was like. But I mean, being gluten-free, partaking in deep fried beer, you know, beer battered, whatever. No. Bluegill.
I go with the steak. They have a steak option.
Oh, good.
Thankfully.
There you go. All right.
So I do get to eat. I'm not completely out of the dinner option. I eat the steak.
Okay. Well, I wanted to know too. I mean, like, what is the actual fish? Are they doing walleye? Are they doing pike? Are they doing sunfish, crappie? I mean, what are they doing this time of year? Or is this something somebody caught in the summer? I know the freezer's always full. So, I mean, what are they doing? That's what I'm curious about. Like, if you did partake, what flavor do you get?
I will have to report back.
Okay.
I actually don't know the answer to that question.
That's
so more to come. How's that?
Awesome. All right.
You'll have to tune back in.
What fish and how's the tartar sauce? That's all I need to know.
Okay. Tartar sauce. I don't eat tartar sauce on my steak.
Not on your steak, but they do on their fish. And I want to know how good it is. So you're going to have to try it.
Deal. I'll get right on that. All right. For questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at thejdeconnection@questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya!
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.